Greetings, all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We are today in lesson 382. We're now in chapter 13 of Deuteronomy. In the beginning of the chapter, Moses is warning Israel to worship God with their whole being and heart, and then not to allow any false prophet to arise from their midst and to lead them astray. And he also told them what to do with that false prophet. And so, let's read again from verse 5. In contrast to following others, he says, "After the Lord your God shall you walk, and him shall you fear, and his commandments shall you keep, and unto his voice shall you hearken, and him shall you serve." Jesus Christ said later on about that, that my sheep know my voice. You see? They know his voice. They know his words. They know his commandments. He's the one that spoke to Moses and gave him the law. And he's the one that spoke to the prophets. And he's the one that came in person and then also taught the disciples. You see? And when you follow all that, you know the voice of the Master. But he said, when they hear other voices, I'm not going to follow them because they know my voice. If a stranger comes and speaks to them, they are going to flee. You see? So, you have to ask yourself the questions. Why is it that people are going astray after false prophets? Well, either they are not listening to the warning of the Master, even though they know his voice, and they allow others to lead them astray, or to begin with, they may not be his sheep, and therefore, obviously, they do not recognize the difference between his voice and that of others. And every single one of us has to ask ourselves that question. And so Moses says, he's the only one that he should listen to his voice and not anyone else's voice. He said to them, "You shall hearken to him, and him shall you serve, and unto him shall you cleave. No one else." And the reality is, if we have many religions, it's because from the beginning, people have not been listening to this warning of Moses. You see? A warning that God gave him to give to Israel, and a warning that he repeated himself in person, and a warning that he gave to all the prophets to give to the people. And to this very day, people are not listening to this warning of Moses in chapter 13 and verse 5, the chapter that talks about false prophets and what to do with them. And in verse 6 we read, "And that prophet, or the dreamer of dreams, shall be put to death." Now, a lot of people are not going to do it because they say, well, he's a minister of the gospel. He's my pastor. He's my minister. You say he's my this or that or whatever it may be. I cannot even conceive of doing things like that. He's a man of God. How do you know? You see? Unless you know the voice of God. Unless you know the commandments of God. Unless you know his truth, his word, unless you yourself study day and night to show yourself approved, and therefore you can test all things, prove all things. That's the reason why people follow the false prophets. You see? And they think that they are the ministers of the Gospels, and they forgot what Paul said, that the devil, Satan the devil, appears as an angel of light. You see? He was talking also about the false prophets of his day. False apostles. This is no marvel. You know, their boss, the one they follow, the one who is really their God, you know, Satan the devil appears as an angel of light. He's not going to appear as an angel of darkness, otherwise he would not be able to deceive people. You see? He has to be that way in order to deceive people. That's the way, you know, all deceptions on the face of the earth, all scams or whatever it may be, they all appear as angels of light. And then they deceive you and they trap you, and a lot of people fall for it, and all the time they fall for it, no matter how many times they are being warned against it to be careful. And because they don't have enough knowledge and understanding, that's how they fall for it. But Christ said, you study, grow in grace and knowledge and understanding. You must know the word of God from beginning until the end, because that's the only way you're going to be able to protect your mind from being deceived and led astray. A lot of people don't do it. The majority of people don't do it. They're too lazy to do it. They let somebody else do the thinking for them. And that's how the false prophets of the devil, you know, are able to be successful. That's what Paul is warning the congregation. Look, the devil, you know, is appearing as an angel of light, and his ministers, imagine that, on this earth, in the churches, in the synagogues, in any given religion on the face of the earth, his ministers appear as ministers of righteousness, not unrighteousness. Righteousness. You see, they confuse people, since people are not studying the Word, are not studying their own books, their own religion, the doctrines of their own church, or synagogue, you see, or any religion on the face of the earth, be it, you know, Islam or any other thing. They don't. That's why even in Islam, you know, they believe totally contrary to what Muhammad taught about the land of Israel, the ownership of it, about heaven and hell, about the afterlife. He made it very plain. You see, he understood it very well. If in other, you know, areas there are disagreements between him and the Bible, in this area he was in perfect agreement. At least partly, knowing that when you die, you're dead. You remain in the grave and you wait until the resurrection, and that included him. And yet those who came after him began to teach lies. That Muhammad went up to heaven and, you know, come up with all kinds of stories. And he went, you know, riding on his horse, imaginary horse, went to Jerusalem, through the rock there, he ascended up to heaven and so forth. This is what supposedly made Jerusalem a holy city to Islam, because of this one big fat lie. And how were people deceived? By the mere fact that they did not study their own book, their own Quran. Or else they would have known that those guys who told, you know, sold in this lie were, you know, a bunch of liars. But to this very day, all of them are into that lie. And so it is in Christianity, and so it is in Judaism. You see? And for that matter, any given religion on the face of the earth, because Satan deceives the whole world. He's not going to bypass any religion on the face of the earth. He inspires all of them, to one degree or the other. And that's how he makes, you know, people depart from their true faith that God delivered from the Garden of Eden and to all the righteous men. And then he gave it as a package deal into Israel to be the light of the nations, not the darkness of the nations that goes all around the world and spreading lies. And that's what the missionaries are all about, a mixture of truth and error. And they think that they are the servants of God. That's what Moses is saying here. People are not listening to it. You see? And that's what Jesus Christ told his people. If you listened to Moses, you would have listened to me. If you believed Moses, you would have believed me. And that's what Abraham in the parable tells the rich man, Lazarus and the rich man. You know, if they have Moses and they're not listening to him, though one rises from the dead, they're not going to believe him either. This is the beginning. Moses. Because Moses wrote Genesis 1:1. You see? From the beginning until the end of the five books. And after that, all those that came after him, were basically, all their teachings were based on the law of Moses. Speaking about the consequences, magnifying it. And so it was with when Jesus Christ came on the scene. You see? He always used Moses. Because he's the one that inspired him. And the prophets that he inspired, and all the disciples, all their writings, as it is written. Everything they said, as it is written. Written where? In Moses and the prophets. Where else? In the Psalms. To this very day, this warning is not being heeded, and the majority of God's people are not heeding this statement either. This warning of Moses. After the Lord your God shall you walk, and him shall you fear, and his commandments shall you keep, and unto his voice shall you hearken, and him shall you serve, and unto him shall you cleave. He's not just repeating himself because he's got nothing else to say. This is God speaking to every single one of us. And how many of us are paying attention to that? And then he said, in that prophet, anybody who comes and teaches you otherwise, you know, assuming that you're studying all these things and knowing all these things, and therefore when somebody comes, you immediately spot that false prophet. And it says, and that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because they have spoken perversion against the eternal, your God. That's speaking about the majority of the spiritual leaders of the people nowadays in any given religion. People are not paying attention to that. So you just put him to death because they have spoken perversion coming, you know, in the name of whatever, and then they pervert the scriptures or pervert the writings. Again, you know, speak perversion against the Lord. Well, in this case, you know, obviously those who come in the name of God, the God of Israel, in the name of the, you know, the Word of God, the Bible, be it, you know, the Genesis or Matthew or anywhere else, you know, the entirety of the Bible of Israel. That's the Bible of Israel. Something's a Gentile Bible when it comes to the New Testament. No, it's the Bible of Israel from beginning until the end. And so that's a part of the perversion that false prophets came and told lies about that. You know, there are two Bibles. Jewish Bible and then the Gentile Bible. You see, that's perversion of truth. It was all the Bible of Israel. All the writers were Israelites. For Israel. And the few that God is grafting. And ultimately the purpose of Israel is to take this truth and spread it throughout the face of the whole earth. But it still remains the Bible that is given to Israel to teach all mankind. It's not that it belongs to Israel, it belongs to God. You see? But he's the God of Israel. And so that, this is what he says. No, this is what those people are doing. They're teaching perversion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to draw you aside out of the way which the Eternal your God commanded you to walk in. And how do you know that way unless you study it as God commanded us? This is the book of the law, as it told Joshua, meditate on it day and night. And Moses told Israel, you know, these are the words of God, the commandments of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and might and soul and so forth. And then now you teach it to your children. What are you going to teach your children if you yourself don't know it? That means you know it very well. That's how you're passing it on from generation to generation. What happens when people don't do it? Well, pretty soon they end up in idolatry. And that's what happened to Israel again and again and again. And to this very day. You see? That's been always the story of the church of God, the people of God, the Israel of God. That's what the Apostle Paul said, you know, at the end of his ministry, after, you know, methodically teaching the law of God, every nuance and every shade of it, every teaching that Christ gave him in person, you know, what he had known from his youth, from Genesis 1:1 through Moses and the prophets, he taught it all to all the churches. And then, on his last trip to Jerusalem, knowing that that's going to be the end of the road for him, because after that, he was going to be imprisoned and brought to Rome. On his way to Jerusalem, he traveled through, we can read in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 17, for Miletus is sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, and mind you, this is the church of Ephesus. And when you read Revelation 2:3, the first church that God is addressing his message to is the church of Ephesus. You see? And then after that, all the others. And so this is the church of Ephesus that he's writing to. It's not a coincidence. And so he's asking for all the leaders of that church to come. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all of humility and with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. And then he said, now, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. I taught you everything I know, from Genesis 1:1 to whatever the teachings that he was given personally. You see, the whole counsel of God. Everything. There are people who talk about the whole counsel of God and they are not teaching everything. They do not teach the law. That's the foundation and the basis of it. You see, and yet they pride themselves in teaching the whole counsel of God. And the majority of the people, unfortunately, and then you check them out, they know very little about the law of God. You see, so it's easy for people to come and deceive them. And so I told them, I've done that. I taught you everything. You can't say that I haven't. I didn't leave you in ignorance. I taught you the law of Moses. You see? We're talking about Gentiles here that didn't know it. But he taught them everything. He taught them the prophets. He taught them the Psalms. He taught them all the writings that came later on. You see? He taught them everything that Jesus Christ talked about. All of his teachings. And whatever other apostles may have spoken that he had learned when he went to Jerusalem. and everything that God gave him in person, Jesus Christ gave him in person, all that he gave them. And therefore, he says at the end of the conversation, verse 28, verse 27, let's actually go to verse 26, because that's a warning to all of us. He says, therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. In other words, I taught you everything, so you cannot claim that Paul didn't teach me and therefore I was deceived because I didn't know. He says, no, I'm innocent. I taught you everything. And when we go through this book of the law from Genesis to the end of it, we're going through every single word. Nothing is missing. We haven't skipped any chapters. You see? And if you yourself go through it from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation, you know, the last verse, and you go through it day and night, and you study it, and you grow in grace and knowledge and understanding, you see, then you are innocent of the blood that you might shed otherwise, including your own, if you didn't study that, and therefore somebody else can and deceived you and led you astray. So he said, therefore I testify to you this day that I'm innocent, or clean, you know, my hands are clean, of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you, I didn't avoid anything, you know, the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God. And what he means by that, from Genesis 1:1 to whatever teachings he had until the end. You see, the entirety of it. Because if we are going to live by every word of God, we must know it all. It's as simple as that. If you go only to a segment of scriptures in a certain place, and you say, well, that's the only thing I need, you're going to deceive yourself, and you're going to trap yourself, you know, set yourself for a downfall, you see. But the whole counsel of God means everything that God said. And when Christ warned us, don't think that I came to do away with the Torah or the prophets. That's a part of the whole counsel of God. And if you are not learning it day and night, all the time, from beginning until the end, knowing what is the will of God concerning any given subject he ever talked about, and his emotions and feelings and his nature and character is revealed through it. You see? That's what Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, when it is in our heart and in our minds, in our nature, this is what Christ is all about. That's how it's being formed in us. Not only some scriptures, you know. Some people say, well, with this, I've got my favorite scriptures. Some people, you know, that's the only thing they read. That's not the whole counsel of God. That's not what Paul said, put the whole armor of God. You got to put it all. You see? How are you going to put it all? There are certain teachings you know nothing about because you don't bother to read them. And that's when the devil comes. He knows exactly what you know and what you don't. It's the areas that you don't know because you're not studying it to show yourself approved that he's going to come and attack you there and deceive you and lead you astray. And he doesn't need to deceive you of everything that you know. Just few things here and there. That's enough. You see? And then you don't have the whole combination of the safe, so to speak. And you need it in order to enter into the kingdom. You got to know it all. And God commands us to know it all, not some of it. That's the reason why he gives us teachers until we all, every single one of us, as Paul told the Ephesians, the reason why God appointed teachers and apostles and prophets and all that, so that we all may reach to the fullness of the stature of the measure of Jesus Christ. But if they are not teaching everything, just, you know, favorite scriptures or favorite passages, and that's the only thing they teach, in other parts they say, well, that's boring stuff, that's old stuff, that's Mosaic stuff, that's not for us, that's not a part of the counsel of God. That's where Satan is going to attack you and deceive you. And that's the reason why many, not few, many are deceivers and many are deceived. And Satan deceives the whole world. You see? That's what this warning that God was giving Israel through Moses is so specific. And so the Apostle Paul tells them, I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. And if anybody tells you he's teaching you the whole counsel of God and he's not teaching you from Genesis 1:1 to the end of the book, you know he's a liar. All he means by that is just, you know, that the segments of the scriptures that that person or that organization or that church or whatever likes. You see? A lot of deceivers are out there. They don't even know it themselves. There are sins of omission and there are sins of commission. And if you omit to do what you're supposed to do, you've already deceived people. You see, try to send somebody to a certain complicated address and you don't give him certain parts of information, where does he end up? Even though you give him a lot, he ends nowhere. You see, this is what makes a false prophet. He does not even realize that he is. You see, a true prophet of God will give you everything. Everything. You see, even the things that you don't like to hear. And so I said, I did not shun to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed. Now it's your ball, you see. Now the ball is in your court. Now you take heed to yourselves. Speaking by the leaders, and that warning that was supposed to pass to the brethren, to all the flock, you see. You better be careful, he said, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Speaking by Jesus Christ, because he's the head of the body. So this is one place where the Holy Spirit is referred to Jesus Christ and not to just the power. Of course, by His power, He's calling you and opening your eyes and all that. But in specific, He's talking about Jesus Christ Himself. It's Jesus who made you overseers. You see? He's the one that puts everybody in the body of Christ, you know, in His church, wherever He wants. You see? That's Him. That's His personal job. He's the head of the body to do it. So this is what he says here. That's another perversion the false prophet have taught, that the Holy Spirit is a person. Speaking about the third one. No, the Holy Person is Jesus Christ. Unless it's talking about His power, you see, as it guides us by His Spirit or the Spirit of the Father. There are no two Holy Spirits. You know, in other words, two different persons. You know, the Father has His own one, His own Holy Spirit inside Him, and that's a person. And Jesus Christ has His own Holy Spirit inside Him. And we have our spirit, the spirit in man, that's somebody inside us. You see, all these are perversions of truth. And people don't understand that when they read it. The Holy Spirit can be sometimes referring to the power of God or other times Himself. As Paul said, you know, when you get together to the Corinthians and my spirit is with you. What do you mean my spirit is with you? You know, somebody else is coming out of Paul and going over there. You know, the second person in Paul. Now he's speaking about himself. His teachings. His words. You see, what he taught them. And so he said, the Holy Spirit made you overseers, but you don't make yourselves. That's another teaching there. You don't make yourselves a minister or a teacher or whatever it may be. Unless God Himself made you that, you have no business putting yourself in a position of a public teacher. Now, you know, if you're teaching by example, it's one thing. Teaching your own family, you're commanded to do it. But when people appoint themselves as ministers, as teachers, you see, that's the kind of people God, Satan, that is going to use, knowing that they don't know everything, and He's going to deceive them, and He's going to deceive others through them. That's what Christ said, you know, be careful, many shall come in my name. They're self-appointed people claiming the Holy Spirit, you know, led me to that, and shall deceive many. So every single one of us who happens to be in this position must verify to himself or herself. You see, a lot of people nowadays appoint themselves, be it men or women. To begin with, God forbid the office of a spiritual ruler to a woman. Yeah, a lot of women, you know, appoint themselves. Well, the Holy Spirit led me to that. Well, we better check it out and be sure, because our condemnation, as James said, is going to be the greatest. And so he says, the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. You see? So, Jesus Christ is the one doing it. He is the shepherd, and He is the Holy Spirit that Paul is talking about here in specific. Verse 29, for I know this. So now he's prophesying that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Now Paul, you see, is in essence teaching them what Moses told them. That I give you all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments and the precepts and the ordinances. You should know all of them. And so if somebody comes out of the blue or from among you, whoever that person can be, and tells you anything else that I taught you, you better spot that person and get rid of him. Under the administration of Moses, the permission was given by God through Moses to put that person to death. You see? Now the new administration, you see, that Jesus Christ taught, we don't put that person to death because God is going to do that, but you throw him out. You don't follow him. Flee. You see? And, in other words, kill his influence over you. His leadership over you. Shut him off. And oftentimes the only thing you need to do is just stop paying that person. And he's out of business. And he's going to go somewhere else. Or don't listen to the person. You see? Cut him off. And so this is what he's saying here. I'm warning you that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, also from among yourselves. So some are going to come from without, and some from among yourselves. Men will rise up. God didn't raise them up. His Holy Spirit, His power, did not inspire them. They'll do it on their own, speaking perverse or misleading things to draw away the disciples after themselves. That's the bottom line of why they are doing it. You see? Anytime any one of us has a desire to have followers, we are false prophets. It's as simple as that. Because the prophets of God have no need for followers. You see? They have no need for people to come and just worship them, exalt them. That's idol worship. You see? That shows you, the idol worship that is in the heart of many. As soon as we begin to look for followers to follow us and come after us, that should be a warning. Because the prophets of God were not interested in that. The servants of God were not interested in that. They're interested to teach the word of God and let God do whatever with those people, whatever He wants. You see, they're not seeking followers. And in this case, He makes it very plain. They're after filthy lucres. Or prestige. Or honor. Or praise. Or glory. Self, self, self. That's all they're after. All they may have, other reasons that they deceive themselves to believe that they are true. Oh, I just want to serve the congregation, the people of God. You see, you check them out, you find out where their heart really is. And as soon as somebody else comes and teaches something that is true, they pounce on that person and they try with their whole being and heart, to protect, so-called to protect the flock, because they want them to themselves. Well, if the truth is being preached, why do you need to protect people from the truth? Only from lies. But then you're going to decide what truth is and what lies. You see, not the word of God. And people deceive themselves. And so I tell them, you better watch this kind of people. And why would this kind of people come among themselves and from outside? That's because when people do not study the word of God, do not listen to Moses and the prophets and the teachings of the disciples, which are all based on the same foundation, Jesus Christ, then obviously it's easy for people to come and deceive them. Otherwise, if you know very well the Word of God and you walk in it and you abide in it and the Spirit of God is in you and you study the entirety of the subject from beginning until the end, the whole counsel of God, some people come, and begin to sell you lies, just like somebody, coming and tell you, well, here's a $3 bill, it's pink, I know it's pink, but there's some dollar bills, that are pink and they're $3. Well, that they're deceivers, going to fall for it, you see. But if you do not know how a dollar bill looks like as it should all the way, and it brings you something, a counterfeit that is as close as possible to it, unless you are an expert and you don't know how to check for those telltale signs, that will tell you whether it is true or not, be it a line that they put there and you put it toward the light and you see that, then people deceive you. And you think that you've got a dollar bill or $100 bill in your hand. And you might even pass it around and give it to others, and people don't know any better, so they take it. And you think, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. That's how the devil works, and people don't know it. And he's warning them against it. And the only way you can protect yourself against that is when you put the whole armor of God. When you know the Word of God inside and out. When you study and meditate on it day and night. When you constantly walk with God. That in certain points where you may not know very well, because it's a matter of growth and knowledge and understanding, You go to the experts. You go to others. And you go to God. You see? He's going to open your eyes to see certain parts that you may not fully comprehend. I mean, all of us are in this category. We don't know it all. We make mistakes. We think that we know. And then we realize down the road, no, you know, we were not too correct on this point or that point. And so, you know, we change. We repent. That's not a problem. You see? It's the people that think that they stand. Paul said, take heed lest you fall. Arrogant and proud, you know, in their own knowledge and understanding. No, humility. You see? That's when the false prophets come and then they lead you astray. You know, you use your vanity, they pat you on the shoulders, you know, they tell you, you know, how smart you are and things like that and lead you astray. And so he said, you better be careful of people like that. Verse 31, therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. It's not just warning, he told them. The whole counsel of God, he taught them. You see, they were not left in ignorance. And so he says in verse 32, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. You see, not I commend you to so-and-so, but God himself and his word. And when that is in you, nobody can deceive you. You become the very elect. As Christ said, you know, many shall come and do all kind of signs and wonders and miracles, Matthew 24 and other places, Luke 21, Mark 13. And he said, if it is possible, even the very elect will be deceived. But the very elect are not going to be deceived. Why? Because they study the Word of God day and night and they know it all. Not some of it only. And nobody can deceive them. How many of us are in this category? How many of us are the very elect? We decide whether we are or not. By studying the Word of God all the time and knowing it, and nobody can deceive us. And if God calls us and gives us the Holy Spirit, and we're lazy and we do not study the Word of God, we do not obey His commandment, we do not obey this command that we read here by Moses, even though if we have the Holy Spirit, we're going to be deceived and led astray. And many did, and went astray after the false prophets. You know, as Paul said, you know, the grievous wolf that came from within. And now you have a whole worldwide religion, many churches, all deceived to one degree or the other. And Satan, you know, has a party. He deceived the whole world. You see? And the majority of the people that call themselves the people of God, Christians, are members of the 17, you know, that is Revelation 17 churches. The great whore, the main one, and all those that came from her, the harlots, her daughters. You see? This is where you find them. But the little flock, the very elect, they're not a part of it. Why? Because they came out of Babylon, out of lies and deceptions, and now they give their mind and heart only to God and to His Word. And that's what Paul is saying here. I command you now to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. You see? And in contrast to others, he said, I've coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Money was not the bottom line of his ministry. When he needed to, he worked with his own hands. And that's what we should do when we can. You see, now that the law of tithing is done away with, but money should not be the bottom line for us. If people, you know the Word of God and they obey the Word of God, you know, they'll take care of your needs. If they don't, go find a job. Continue to do the work. You see? You have no ulterior motives there. We do it only for money or prestige or glory or honor or whatever it may be. And so he says, yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. Not only for his own needs. He put himself to work making tents or whatever other things he could do in other places. But even for those who were with him. How many people do you know like that? This is an apostle of God that could have gone and told everybody, hey, I'm the apostle of God, you know, pay me the tithe. Didn't say that. Didn't walk around, you know, doing that. Wasn't looking for money. He was looking after souls to win them to Christ by teaching them every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Christ, the God who came down on Mount Sinai and the one that is speaking now through Moses, and his words we are reading. And how many people know that? That's what Moses is talking about. And so if you have a prophet, who tells you otherwise than what the Word of God tells you. You see, of that dreamers or dreams, you shall put him to death. Well, that was under Moses, as I said. And nowadays, we just cut them off. We don't listen to them. We flee. Because he has spoken perversion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage. He is the one that redeemed you. That's the God of Israel, Jesus Christ. He redeemed them from Egypt, and it's Jesus Christ who redeems us from all sins by giving his life for us. He gave his life for us, and by his blood he's watching us. It's not the false prophets that do it for us. It's not the church. Any church that people follow, any organization, any man. You see? So we don't belong to any man. We should not listen to any man. But only to the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God himself in person. And then obviously he had it recorded. So now when you go directly to it, you know, it's as if you are listening to God himself. He's the one speaking to you. So still, we should never listen to men, but we should check out all things and see. If those things are of God, then God said them, not man. Man is just an instrument. You see, a microphone doesn't talk to you. It's a person that stands there behind the microphone. And that person should be God. You see? And all of us, men, you know, who speak in the name of God, we're just microphones. That's all we are. You know that it's not too intelligent to listen to a microphone. You see? You listen to the one that speaks through the microphone, ultimately. And so this is what he says here. He's the one that redeemed you. He's speaking about the same person that came and died in the flesh. And so that's the same message for us. It's not an old stuff. And so I said, he brought you out of bondage to draw you aside out of the way, you know, the way of wickedness, of perversion, of lies, of deceptions. You see? And so I said, don't let anybody draw you out of the way of God, which is not of lies and perversions, out of the way of the Lord, your God. And so he says, any person like that, he put him to death, who is going to draw you aside out of the way which the Lord your God commanded you to walk in. So there are two ways. And the false ministers of the devil, you know, of Satan, that's what their aim is after. You know, they may not know it themselves, because they themselves are deceived. But their aim is to take you out of the way of God into their way, and the only way you can flush them out is through the Word of God. That's a sword that you have in your hand all the time. And the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of faith, and so forth. That's the whole armor of God. That's the entirety of the Word of God. That's what he's talking about there. And people who do not do it, they're going to fall for it. And so he says, so shall you put away the evil from the midst of you. Well, obviously the Ephesian church hasn't done that. You see? And so they went down the drain. And everybody that doesn't do it, every group and organization that haven't done that, when they, you know, some of them begin more or less being based on the Word of God, and then gradually they allow the false prophets in their midst and the grievous wolves to come and take them away, and they end up as something else. And that's been the story for the past 2,000 years. And for the people of God, that's been the story from the day of the Garden of Eden. When they allowed the devil in, you know, the super salesman, and to deceive them and lead them astray, the grievous wolf. You know, the ultimate one. Well, he keeps doing it. He's got a lot of ministers, a lot of workers all around the earth, everywhere, doing his work for him. And he does it himself, and all of his demons, and unclean spirits. And God warned us that the only way that we can fend for ourselves and protect ourselves with the help of God is when we study his word day and night and walk in it and don't listen to anybody else. And so, verse 7, Moses is saying, if your brother, even, you know, somebody in your own family, don't trust anyone. That's what God says. Cursed be the man that puts his trust in man. So don't be bribed by the fact that he's your brother, or he's intelligent, or he went to such and such school, or whatever it may be. Nobody is to be trusted but God. And if what they speak is what God said, then it's God that you trust, not man. You see? And if that man is faithful all the time, you see, to the degree that he's faithful, he can trust that person, but still, you always check him out. Never take anybody's word for granted 100%. That's the time when you gave your mind to somebody else, and then you are gone. You see? Not even us should put our trust in our own intelligence or knowledge or understanding of the law, the word of God, or anything. because we're going to be cursed if we do. That's when we begin to exalt ourselves, and that's when the devil gets in, you see, and deceives us. And we think that we're doing well. We think that we stand, and then we fall flat on our face. And so he says, if your brother is the son of your mother, or your son, or your daughter, or the wife of your bosom, or your friend, that is, as your own soul, somebody you love and you trust, you see, and then lets you down, he says, any one of those entice you secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods. Now today they don't say that. As a matter of fact, you know, the false prophets do not come with this statement, hey, let's go and serve other gods. Because, you know, the first thing you'll do, you know, is you throw a rock in their head, you know. And well, obviously, they don't use this language, but in essence, this is what ultimately happens. That's what Moses is saying. He's not saying that somebody is going to come tell you, hey, I'm a false prophet of the devil. Can I lead you astray in order to worship other gods? Well, nobody shows up like that and says that to you, obviously. The devil is not stupid, you see. Oh, no, he comes to you as an angel of light, as a minister of righteousness, giving you a lot of truth. And then you don't keep your guard anymore, and you fall asleep, you see, and that's when he gets you, and he deceives you. So you got to be always careful. Not only careful about what people tell you, but what your own mouth speaks, and what, oh, you know, what comes out of your own mind, your intellect, you see. And the only way you can do it is by constantly studying the Word of God day and night. And so it says, if your brother, the son of your mother, or the son of your that is, a daughter, or anybody, your friend, close friend, your minister, your pastor, your, you know, anybody, that is your own soul, entice you secretly, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known. And so the first thing says, uh-oh, hey, this is not the Word of God, get out of here. Well, people don't do that. And he said, which you have not known, you nor your fathers, of the gods of the peoples that are around about you. Now, obviously, he speaks in specific to the children of Israel here, and the gods of Canaan, and all that, and all the lies there. But that's a warning to every single one of us in different ways. And so, all the people around you, he says, the gods of those people, nigh unto you, or far off from you, you know, so there may be nations that are right there in your midst, or there may be nations far away. It doesn't make any difference. From the one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth. What is it that a lot of people are doing today, especially young people? They go all the way to India. What do you want to go to India for? All the way to the end of the earth. Oh, because there are other gods there, gurus there. You know, they have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Why do people go that far? Because they couldn't care less about the Word of God. You see? They don't know it to begin with. They don't study it. And so, oh, I heard about that so-and-so and such a teacher. Did you hear him? Did you listen to his tapes and things like that? You see? Instead of checking the Word of God and seeing if whatever anybody says is of God, well, people have always been that way. So he's warning them. No matter where those gods come from, you know, right next to you, you know, the end of the earth, you shall not consent unto them, nor hearken unto him, not even listen. Neither shall your own eyes pity him. No mercy. God is a God of mercy, not in this case. No more than your surgeon, when he goes to battle against your cancer cells, he's not a surgeon of mercy at that time. He's out to kill every cancerous cell in your body with your permission and your encouragement. You see? That's what he says here. Certain things you should never have pity on, regardless of how close they are to you. He says, neither shall your eye pity him, or her, or anybody. Neither shall you spare, neither shall you conceal him. So you're responsible to expose him. Not only do something about it yourself, but also expose that person so he doesn't go around and deceive other people. God holds us responsible for it. Verse 10, but you shall surely kill him. Well, today we don't kill them, we just cut them off. We warn others, you see. And we depart from them. We flee. At this point he says, you kill him. This is the Word of God. This is Jesus Christ speaking here through Moses. And to Israel, this is the command he gave them. And when the time comes, he's going to literally kill them. You see, all the false prophets. He's going to destroy all liars upon the face of the earth, all false prophets, and all those who believe in them and follow them. And so he said, you shall kill him. Your hand shall be first upon him, because you're the one that heard it. That's the law of God. You see, the law of God is different than the law of man. Your hand shall be first upon him to put him to death. Now just imagine that, you know, in this constitution of God, had it been today, well, the police will come after you and put you in jail. For what? For obeying God. Imagine how people departed from God, how far they departed from God. Well, obviously, this is not done today. We're talking about another administration, the administration of death. And we're going to stop at this point. This is again Mordecai Joseph. Greetings to all of God's people. Keep the faith. Until next time.